Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our
morning, everyone. Great to have you with us. It's a Tuesday. A lot of analysis has gone down over the past two or three days of big round two of footy.
Yes, just quickly before all that, though, we've got a lot of football to talk about. But, boys, I work at the RM store and Gaz did not pay full clip. I offered him 30% off as an avid listener of the show. My goodness, he accepted the offer quicker than Collingwood's ball movement. That's from Ben. Is that true or not?
That is rubbish.
I like it, though,
it's
Ben.
It's a nice joke, Ben, but it is rubbish. I would have accepted a 30%, but that wasn't forthcoming. Righto.
Yeah.
The final word. Where do you want to start? We've got lots to get through.
Let's start with Hawthorn. I want to post. I had this question written down for you,
yes.
Okay? In terms of, you know, they stripped the place right back, okay? They reset their football team and out goes all their experience, or generally most of their experienced players have gone, right? So they've done a deal on those. They want to bring young players in. He wants to develop his own team, all of that, which is fine. We all know that that's what he wants to do, okay?
Yep.
The problem being, though, they've been smashed in the first two games of the season. They didn't look like that was going to be the case in the preseason games that I saw. I thought they were really good against Collingwood in one preseason game, but maybe Collingwood didn't go as hard as what they needed to go. But having said that, in terms of developing players, is it better, the question for me is it better, and I don't know the answer, is it better to gift young players a game, right, before they're ready, like he's doing, perhaps, right? And they would be, had they had more experienced players, some of those young players wouldn't be getting a game. Is it better for their development to gift them the games and get them to 50 as quickly as you can, or for them to have to fight a little bit harder for their place in a team by having more experienced players around them and maybe not getting belted week in, week out? What do you think?
Well, the best situation is where you've got to work hard to find it, but they're not in that situation.
No, so but that's a creation mainly of their own,
right.
Okay?
So their decision then is to go fully one way. Mm. We'll go fully race them to 50 games. And I think I think you've got to pull back. I would think. So last night we had a look at this. Hawthorn were in the same situation when Clarkson was there. So they did the same thing, cut hard, but there was 430 pluses plus Vandenberg that was still playing. So Crawford's still playing.
Mm.
So imagine this Hawthorn team right now with a Crawford playing, Nick Holland playing centre half forward, taking the heavy stuff, Johnny Barker playing centre half back, and Peter Everett playing ruck. And then you got Vandenberg, who's a 28, who's the captain.
Mm.
Add that sort of experience and steel into the group. And, you know, they would probably still lose, but perhaps not be opened up as badly as they were. So it's just getting the balance right. We're two games in, Tim.
Yeah.
They did it with their eyes wide open. So there's no, you know, from their point of view, they probably accepted that this was going to happen to some degree. But I'm not sure it's the best thing for the playing group.
Right. Okay, what about the actual way they play? Because right now they are as adventurous as any side in the competition about the kicks that they're trying to take and bring it back into the corridor. And it opens them up. Yeah. Like if there's a turnover, it puts enormous pressure on their back half as well. And this is a work in process for him, right? And he's a young, inexperienced. You can forget about all the experience that he's had as an assistant. I mean, that's important. But it's not until you have the levers and you are in control that you are the real ultimate decision maker, right?
Yep.
So now, do you think he's going to have to modify his beliefs and his philosophy just a little bit, pull back a bit of the creative, adventurous attacking stuff?
So isn't the best, the best example would be North Melbourne, right? Mm. And St Kilda to a lesser degree. But St Kilda in a similar boat because they've lost all their, a lot of their, they don't get scored against him.
Mm.
You know, they're the opposite. It looks like and numbers tell us that Hawthorn are doing it, rip, tear and bust. You know, Hawthorn, they don't get scored against. North Melbourne don't get scored against. They don't play on very much. They protect the back. Same with Essendon even. Brad Scott's come in, you know. St Kilda, they've given up more marks than any team in the competition. They're undefeated.
Mm.
They've given up more marks but conceded less territory. So Ross Lyon's put in place this system that says, we don't care if you mark it there.
Mm.
We can go short there, but you're not going forward. More marks, less metres forward. And you compare that to Hawthorn, you go, okay, there's two hardened, seasoned, experienced heads who said the best way for to get my club back competitive and is set the base here and say we won't get scored against.
You can't be bloody-minded about it, though. Like, at some point he may have to pull up. I'm talking about Sam Mitchell now and philosophically speaking, about the way that he wants it. He knows the way that he wants it to look, you know, when it's all ready and finished and, you know, in 2 or 3 years' time.
Yeah.
But he may have to now think, okay, well, I've bitten off too much in the early part of this. I may need to just go back a couple of steps. And for the protection of the way they're playing and the fact that we're going to get smashed if we continue to play like this, we may just have to modify things.
All coaches are entitled to make adjustments.
Oh, that's what happens all the time.
Yeah, well, you would know better than me. So Justin Longmuir is facing a bit of that right now.
Mm.
You know, the matchup of Hawthorn and North Melbourne this weekend is great for the obvious reason, Mitchell and Clarkson, but for the way that the two teams are playing, North Melbourne. Mm. And then you've got Fremantle playing West Coast, who West Coast on the weekend, you know, just the way they played was just unrecognisable on the weekend.
Well,
the way they have been.
We know
playing.
What happened last week. So they got a nice old Garrity. That's they got last week.
That's exactly what.
I'll tell you what,
them.
Bevo will be calling you later this week too with a Garrity that's aimed at his team too.
So Fremantle,
they changed their game plan completely, didn't they?
I flipped it on its head.
Yeah,
and you would
give
say,
us some stats there that you've got.
It's all about forward handball. It's all about playing. It's all moving from the back half. Kick forward percentages, all that stuff that says go forward, young man. You know,
not go then, west, go forward.
So Jake Waterman kicks four goals because the ball all of a sudden's coming down with some pace and speed, and he's getting a one-on-one look, and he's hitting up the vision of him hitting up in that forward 50. Mm. So all that stuff. So now they play Frio, who haven't been going forward or been going forward in a laboured manner. So Justin Longmuir might have to. So I guess we're talking Longmuir, we're talking Mitchell, we're talking coaches who are still working it through it all.
And that is the art of coaching.
That's the art of coaching.
That is the art of coaching. You've got to diagnose a problem, then you've got to come up with a remedy. And that's exactly where Bevo's at the moment with the Bulldogs too.
Just before that, he was on Footy Classified last night, Sam Mitchell, we're talking about, and was trying to work out the balance and whether you let senior players go or not. This is what he had to say about some of the older players that left.
I mean, there is an argument, and I can justify away from that, though, reasonably easily, because if we had have kept Jager and Tom, it means that Will Day is not playing in the midfield, and he had a really good performance on the weekend. It means that young McKenzie is not playing in the midfield either, because he's going to be pushed out into some other position. So they have to take positions of these players. And the other challenge is the one player who we really wanted to keep, and we understand why he left, and we're really open with the dialogue with him, in Jack Gunston. He's the one we're really missing, because our forward line, we're not able to score as well as we would like at the moment.
So that's fair.
No, that is fair, but then there's always a counter response to that about, you know, those guys, okay, well, maybe they're not ready to be playing in the midfield, and maybe it would serve you better to have Day still on a half-back flank and McKenzie still on a half-forward flank.
Again, you go to North, right? So the counterpoint is that Clarkson got Liam Shields, right? So he did exactly what Sam Mitchell said he didn't want to do, but Clarkson said, no, I'll take Shields because we need him. And Will Phillips, who's there, Will Day, he can play in the VFL. It's not going to kill him. Will Phillips can have another week or two or three or four. I'm playing Liam Shields because we need Liam Shields to support all our young kids. And then Will Phillips in this instance will earn his right and come back in at the right time. So that's the exact juxtaposition to what Mitchell's talking about.
Let's talk about the Bulldogs, and it's interesting how the conversation just immediately goes to the biggest story, which is why did they re-sign Bevo? Like, they lose the first two games, and did the Bulldogs go too early on the re-signing of Bevo? Put that to one side, because that's not what he's thinking about right now, nor are the Bulldogs thinking about that. They're thinking about what they need to do to change the way they're playing. There's so many things going wrong with them at the moment.
Yeah, take your pick.
It's not a quick fix, is it? Like, it's not an easy fix.
No,
but if you look at them statistically and how far they are behind the rest of the competition, after only two rounds of football, the season's not lost. And we've seen that in the past with Bevo, how he's been able to diagnose a problem and he's been able to get it right and fix it, right? But right now, they're in some pain right now, and they face the Brisbane Lions this weekend. In your mind, what do they need? What's the number one thing that they need to do right now?
Oh, dear me.
You look at the stats, look at all the things that they're not doing right at the moment, how badly they're playing, how far they're falling behind the rest of the competition. you know, just being able to win the ball, the things that they prided themselves on, you know, from clearance and that type of thing. They're just not able to do it at the moment.
No, well, they just got run ragged on the weekend. Yeah. So in this modern game where the ball is in motion so much, if you haven't got, you know, sort of runners, and that's not just your midfield, that's your high half forwards that get from one end of the ground to the other. You're thinking about the premiership team last year. You saw Close up the other end. You saw Jeremy Cameron up the other end. I don't think they're working hard. And maybe that's a mental thing. Maybe it's a physical thing. I don't know. But they don't appear to have the sort of runners that are needed in the modern game. And then you got to try and settle your back group down. I mean, in the weekend, they had Josh Bruce playing there.
Yep.
He's not a defender, I don't think.
Well, he's okay. Yeah,
I don't think. Yeah. You got Liam Jones is just coming back from having missed 12 months. And then you got Lachie Keefe, who's, you know, been there for a while. Yeah. I don't know whether Sam Darcy has to go back. I understand what Luke Beveridge says about that. I'd like to see him settled as a defender. But then
if he goes back, though, you've got to put him there and one of the others come out. So it's not going to be Liam Jones. It's going to be Josh Bruce.
Yeah, I think. That's the way I see it. But then Bevo says, but if you play a young kid in a key post, you've got to play him for nearly a whole game. And, you know, they like to get the younger talent on and off.
Structurally, have they gone too big? Have they taken away some of their agility flexibility as a team?
It looks like it on paper, but they say that at any one time they don't have all of those blokes on the ground. But it does take, it maybe takes away their ability to run and cover ground. They've got a lot of work to do, a lot of work.
You'd back him, though, on previous performances over the years, and he's been there 8 years. They've been in the final six times in those 8 years. They missed, I think they missed 17 and 18. But they've always been around about it, haven't they? Like, he's always found a way of gathering the best of what that team has and incorporating that and building a game plan week in, week out that makes them super competitive and hard to play against.
Yeah. So, you know, would you back him in?
On previous performances as a coach, you'd have to.
And the club has. So the speculation of whether he's going to be there will continue to ride. But in their mind, no, he's our man. We've got great Western Bulldogs supporters around here, and some obviously know their club better than we do. The Hugo Hagen and Darcy, you know, at the start of the year, it was all this beautiful forward line that's going to be the, you know, it's going to give everyone headaches. Well, Sam Darcy's not. He's not an issue. He'll take the time that he needs. He's going to be a star. Maybe Jamara's not as advanced as we think.
It will give teams a headache, though. It will give teams a headache when they get the other part of their game right. Because as you saw with the West Coast Eagles, if you don't have good ball flow, which they don't have at the moment, if you're not winning it off half back, if you haven't got these half backs that are streaming through the midfield and just opening up the game like we see, you know, Dacos has been doing. Even Mason Redman, I watched him at the Marvel Stadium on Sunday. He's become an outstanding defender because he's able to intercept. He's got great length with his kicking. He can run, move, and it just gives the forwards a great opportunity.
Yep, you are absolutely spot on, as are you that have called me up. It wasn't Lachie Keefe, it's Alex Keith. And in the back, I think I called him Jake Waterman. What is Waterman's first name?
Chris.
No.
That's his dad.
I said Jake, didn't I?
Dennis. Is it Dennis Waterman?
No, that's the one who plays for the West Coast Eagles, Waterman.
That was deliberate, by the way, before you start sending text messages. You're catching it from me because I stuffed up so many things on Sunday and now it's just starting to seep into you.
On the other side,
I'm sorry, Gary.
I don't want to talk about Alistair Clarkson and his coaching method at the moment, his style of coaching.
Okay, well, somebody's had a nice old crack at him last night.
Caro I haven't heard it yet.
I was just going to say somebody
has. We're going to play it on the other side of the break.
Well, I'm interested.
And I'll get your response.
My word, I'll give it to you.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
But he almost...
Can I just say this?
Have you got for
We
me?
Will be wrong and have been wrong today. And we'll be
line
wrong
up
again.
To it.
This bloke had me second guessing myself, or person whose number ends in 602. Jake Waterman kicked 4? Maybe in the ammos, Gary, you idiot. He got delisted last year. Can you ring us up and just apologise?
Right.
So Jake Waterman plays for the West Coast, who kicked 4 on the weekend. Well done to you.
Right.
You're talking about Alex Waterman, or Alec, as it says in the book in front of me, who was at Essendon, who got delisted.
Right.
You with me?
You sure you got him around the right way?
I just triple-checked it. Yes, I am 100% certain. I was right the first time, and that person had me second-guessing myself.
You sure about that?
Yes.
It wasn't Dennis Waterman?
You spoke about Alistair Clarkson, and I loved him on the bench. I loved him prowling up and down, engaging with his young players, you know, screaming out instruction. I loved it.
Right? Not everybody did, though.
But he almost came a cropper on Saturday night with this behaviour. Just have a look. High-fiving with everyone.
That's just supporting your players, Kara.
Then there's the arms wide at an umpire decision. There's the mock exasperation. Look, had they lost that game by a point or had it been a draw, he would have looked a bit foolish. I reckon
That's great for the game. You whacked him here all year, and now they've got two wins and he's still going.
I've been his greatest supporter. Did he watch Brad Scott on Tippin Wood? That was hubris of the worst order.
That
could be the over-exaggeration of the... Oh, everyone's entitled their opinion.
Yeah, they are, and that is an opinion.
Hubris. I don't think it's hubris. I think it's a coach engaging with his playing group and being passionate. Hard to see how you could get a negative out of it, but I don't know whether Caro's been his biggest supporter. In fact, I can tell you she hasn't. I engaged in many a blue with Caro when I was working there about Alistair Clarkson. But everyone's got an opinion. I just found that one a funny one. I thought it was great for footy.
I did too. When I was watching it, I was thinking how great it was, and I was surprised that anyone would take a negative view of that. But it is an opinion. That's okay. And everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I would think that the young North Melbourne players
would like to see their coach
there on the bench.
I think that's what he's trying.
Participating in the game.
You've got to understand. Well, you don't have to understand anything. From my take on it is, and we spoke to Todd Goldstein last night, he said this is all about he's throwing his arms around this club, and and Todd's words were for the first time he felt that this was a one club, right?
Yeah.
And his manner of doing that is exactly what he did on the weekend, putting himself out there, throwing himself into the players when they come off, screaming out instruction from the boundary line, you know, gesturing to the umpire, all that sort of stuff is his buy-in. And you know, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I just thought it was exactly what North Melbourne needed to have one of the most forceful, recognisable forces in footy standing out there pushing the North Melbourne cause at every single opportunity. And if it meant he was up and down the boundary, then I think they responded to it beautifully.
I don't think there's anything in his DNA that would suggest that he thinks about how the way he's going to be portrayed by how he coaches the team in the weekend. Like, he's emotionally invested in what he does. He's always been that way. Like, if he wasn't that way, he wouldn't have turned and bashed a hole in the wall when he was up in the coach's box. Like, he's an emotional person. Yeah, that's the way that he operates and has all the time.
He's a bit of a Fruit Loop too. Like,
He can be.
You turned into a Fruit Loop.
No, I didn't, Gary.
You did.
Well, did I?
Yes, you did.
Give me an example of that.
I'll tell you after the news. Clarko, there's a couple of people saying if he's throwing his arms around the umpire looking for a free kick, isn't that umpire's descent?
Could be.
He said it was.
You could be. You could do the same thing.
He had a smile on his face.
Yeah, but then...
Maybe we're being too...
There are cutaways of coaches from time to time. We had one on Sunday after a decision that was an incorrect decision from one of the umpires, and the cutaway to the coach's box was Brad Scott looking at his computer and then looking away in disgust. I mean, is that dissent? Do you want to penalise him for that as well?
We've also been accused of being far too one-eyed when it comes to Clarko, and it sickens Steve from Sunbury.
Does it?
Sorry that it sickens you, Stevie.
Well, he's not doing much wrong at the moment. Hey, if he does something wrong, we'll talk about it, but we don't actually believe that he's done anything wrong.
We got a bit of a clip from us earlier in the year when he overstepped the boundary with the reporter, which he should have.
I'm not a Clarko follower, but have huge respect. How can that be a negative? That's what coaches do. If Hardwick acted like Clarko, then she'd say it's sensational. Well, maybe not. The other talking point at the weekend there's so many, but the De Koning centre bounce stuff, you know, with putting his knee up and making contact with Stanley. Do you think that's going to – obviously Geelong aren't happy about that. Do you think that that is going to lead to some form of a crackdown from the umpires and why they adjudicate those centre bounces?
Yes.
It was just a wrong decision, though, wasn't it?
Like
it,
the way he whacked his knee out.
Yeah.
He got fined $3,000.
That's right. So isn't that what we want to see happen?
Yeah. We don't want to see it in the game, do we?
Yeah, but if you do, you get penalised for it. Yeah. It's like anything else you do when you go or transgress the rules.
Exactly. Are you worried about Luke Jackson? Will he start at Freo? Well, let's say he and Sean Darcy.
Yeah, well, if you look at actually a number of their players, they're way down on their performances of last year. So there's got to be a bit of a concern.
Two games, I
think. He's a young player.
Two games.
He's a young player. Might be a bit.
It's a classic two-gamer, I reckon. Yeah. You've got to give this time to settle.
And they're not playing well as a team.
No. They're going terribly.
I was just looking at the numbers before. They're not like. Down on player ratings, okay? So Sean Darcy's down 74%. Matt Tabner's down 64%. This is from your show last night. Luke Jackson down 52%. Jordan Clark, 33%. Andrew Brayshaw, 18%. Caleb Sarong, 12%. Michael Frederick, 12%. So there are a lot of very influential players who aren't at their best right now.
Well, they got smacked in both games. So it's
too easy. Too easy to just go whack at this early stage.
Breakfast with Gary and Tim.
Welcome, everyone. Great to have you with us. Kogan Money Credit Card, packed full of value. Melbourne Airport Parking now offering value, terminal and premium parking. Rob Harvey's going to join us in a moment. Saints fans, send in your questions for Harves. Your chance to win a St Kilda 150th year heritage Guernsey. Today only offer. So best question for Rob Harvey. Buy a Saints membership to get one free. Call 1300-GO-SAINTS. He's going to join us in just a minute.
There you go, Saints fans. Did you get Jeffrey Rush's phone number at the weekend?
What? Stop. What's your infatuation with Jeffrey Rush?
Not my infatuation with Jeffrey Rush, but I always, as you know, I take down phone numbers. That's the first thing I do when we speak to somebody important.
Do you ever?
I make sure I get their phone number.
And annoy them.
You know
them.
What I'm going to do?
Then annoy them.
I'm going to sell them at some stage. You know how companies collect information about people and they sell it? Well, my contact list is going to be something I can sell down the track.
Who you got
it's part
there?
Of my superannuation plan. Whose number? Have you got Carl's number in there? You're famous?
Yes.
Kylie? What? Have you got Kylie's?
No.
Have you got it in
no
there?
No comment.
What about, okay, The Rock. Now, have you got him under T or R?
No, I haven't got The Rock.
Dickie Wilkins?
Yeah, I think he changed his number since we did that acting together.
Okay, Dickie Wilkins, is he an A or a B?
A or B what?
Celebrity friend.
Oh.
You got to categorise him.
He was A. He might have. He's been off Broadway a bit.
I've got some beauties in my phone over the last couple of years.
There you go. I'm big knob yourself.
I got Drew.
Drew who?
Bledsoe.
Yeah, right. Drew Bledsoe, yeah.
Dikembe.
Who?
Dikembe.
Mutombo.
Yeah.
Who else?
I'm just having a quick look here. I'm just going through my contacts.
All right, well, while you do that, let me...
Curtly Ambrose?
I don't know if I've got...
How about Curtly Ambrose?
Rob Harvey.
What do you like about Curtly?
I haven't even got my phone here.
I got Neil Baum.
Got Robert Harvey?
I got Robert Harvey.
That's
an old one. That's an old 0418 one. I'm not sure if he still answers
it's St Kilda Membership Day, and they are flying. There's two wins from two games. And what an exciting time to be a St Kilda fan, and he joins us on the line. G'day, Harves.
G'day, boys. How are we?
We're going very well. Would you take a call from Wisp? He's just running through his phone book at the moment, working out who his celebrity mates are. He said he's got you down.
I used to, not anymore.
I don't know if I got you under H or B for banger. What would you prefer? Where would you prefer to be in my contact list?
When his kids, well, I don't mind Timmy, but when his kids used to babysit for me, I used to answer his phone.
Yes, that's a fair
right,
point.
He got them at the right cash rate too back in the day. How amazing has been the start for the Saints this year? Unexpected to you, or did you see that coming during the pre-season?
Probably not to the point. Probably not to the point, particularly on the weekend. But we sort of were pretty confident enough that we'd be really competitive. Obviously, with some of the intensity and pressure that we got around the ball, we could sort of see that building over the practice games. Some of the areas we've been working on, and obviously, that's something that it's the foundation of what we're trying to do. So, and particularly with Ross and his style. So, we're not shocked, but I think, obviously, you know, with the Bulldogs game, we probably played even better than I thought we would. So, hopefully we can keep that going.
The buy-in in such a short time has been extraordinary. So what is it about Ross and the way that he sells a message? You've been... front and centre as a player and then now as a coach alongside him?
It's a good question, but I think having known him for a long time, and he's been out of the game a few years, and I've spoken to him a little bit during that time as well. I think what's underestimated, well, not underestimated, but probably so much has talked about his structural coaching and his game plan and X's and O's stuff, but he's coaching around standards and effort-based stuff is I haven't seen better than that. So that's his one wood. You know, that ability to bring it back to a simple focus around playing your role, but also you know, but just that effort-based approach is really foundation and fundamental to how he coaches.
Mm. And gets buy-in. Like, it's been so impressive. And I mean, back when we were playing, the senior coach always had a bit of the fear element as well. Like, you looked at him and you thought, oh, yeah, you know, I want to play for you, but in the back of your mind, you had a bit of fear. Has he still got that about him?
Yeah, he's always going to have a bit of that, Ross. He's definitely more relaxed than he used to be, but he still has that mantra, and I think that's a good thing. And the players always on a little bit of edge with Ross, and that's a good thing in our group. But he's definitely, even as I said, been out of the game a little bit. He's a lot more retrospective than he, you know, he's looked back a bit and he wants to do stuff better. And no doubt that he's trying to enjoy the journey as much as he can as well. So, but he still has that element, Gaz, and I think that's what makes him as well. And the players obviously have bought into that so far, but we're only two games in, so it's a long way to go. And it doesn't guarantee it keeps going.
Yeah, we sort of talked about that this morning, this two-game mark where we, you know, we should be excited and celebrate, but there is some perspective, and I'm sure you guys have got it. Tell us about Mateus Philippou. You loved him from the moment he played in a practice match against Melbourne at one stage where he's outmarking Max Gorn, and then he just gets better and better. He's a confident young kid who only just turned 18 before Christmas, so there's a massive upside.
There is. And having directly coached him in the forwards, I'm doing the forwards, and he's been with me. He's a fascinating kid in the fact that he has got confidence, but he's got great respect as well. And that's a really good combination because with confidence on its own can be arrogance, but he's such respect for the game and the way he prepares. And you know, I don't think I've seen a young kid come in and he sees it so well. You know, like, you know, sit down with him to do his vision, and he's telling you before you're telling him what he's done, and he remembers that incident in a game and stuff like that. So he's a very switched on individual, but again, he's got that respect that he knows he's got stuff to work on, and that's a really powerful thing when you get those two things.
What about Anthony Caminiti? What did you think when you first laid eyes on him?
Well, it's interesting because he sort of walked through the door, and we had no idea that he'd come through. Because it was a bit of a Hail Mary from one of the recruiters elsewhere that Ross had dealt with. And, we said, it's this kid. He turned up to training and was pretty much straight in the forward group. And almost straight away, he just had a bit of something about him. He was endeared himself to the players straight away. And, yeah, he's as raw as you get, but he's got some qualities that sort of stand up pretty much straight away, but he's got so far to go. But he just does everything at 100%, and he's just a great kid. The players love him already, just the way how he goes about it. And I can see, like, he's got so much to work on, but you know, like, I think everyone's seen that he's just his attack on the footy, and we've needed him up there to create that contest, and he's been doing a good job.
He looks an absolute beauty. I love the enthusiasm after that first goal. Hey, if you tell your players one thing long enough, they can begin to believe it. And the first thing we heard from Ross when he got there was that he goes, I don't know much about these players, but geez, they can run. You were the best two-way runner I can remember back in our day. Is it true? What are you seeing in their capacity to cover the ground, or is it just Ross telling them they're good runners, therefore they believe they are?
No, they can run. Yeah, like you just—it's one thing to be able to run, but also you sort of got to set them up to be able to use that strength. So, I've been to a couple of groups, but we run well. I don't know how well we run compared to other teams, but we think we run well. So, there's a bit of that. There's a bit of also, you know, the language and the power in the mind in that as well. But we sort of both talked about it pre-Chrissy when they were doing their running, that they're a good group. They run really well. And the best thing about the group is they empty out. You know, they give you everything they've got every time they go out there. So that's a real positive when you can use that running ability to maximise, you know, when, you know, just to push yourself to that level that, you know, is the maximum.
So that's what we're trying to sort of encourage as well.
Talking to one of the greatest Saints ever, Robert Harvey, now assistant coach at St Kilda. We'll talk about the 150th celebration on the weekend in a moment, but where would you and Lenny have been at in your prime? Up the front, would you have been in the top five runners there at St Kilda against this group you currently got?
Well, I wouldn't have thought. I was probably a bit more, I never won a time trial, but I was probably a bit more of the beep testy sort of runner. Lenny was pretty good. He's probably a bit better now. He's been running the farm for a few years, but he was solid enough, Lenny. Some of the boys that we've got now, they're pretty elite. You know, Bradley Hill, I don't think I've seen a guy run like him. So he certainly would have both of us covered.
Hey, Harves, 150 years, St Kilda. What is it about the St Kilda Football Club for you? What does the club mean to you?
Well, it's a big milestone, obviously, but it sort of probably shows respect, so much respect to people that have been before. And, you know, having been there through some really tough times in the 80s, late 80s, 90s, and known people well in that period, it just shows the ultimate respect for people that have been before, because obviously we've only had one premiership in our history, but doesn't mean that people have loved that club for a long time. They've put in so much effort on and off the field, staff. It doesn't mean you put in any less effort and you love the club any less. And I think this is just a great celebration to respect all those people that have been there before. And I know a good chunk of those will be there Saturday night. So it's just a great celebration for our club. And, these players, current players now, are trying to build their mould into be their best Saints ever, but it's just a great chance to recognise the past and wonder and dream into the future, because we're still here, we're still strong, and we're still a presence. And I think it's just the balance between those things. And it's a great occasion, and you know, we've got to stay focused on the job we have to do, but outside of that, you know, we're hoping as many people get there as they can. If there's one game they can get to, this is the one to try and get behind the club and show that respect to the past.
Well said. Beautifully said, Rob. And we love you coming on, and we love what you're doing, and with you and Lenny back there and BJ. And it's an exciting time for the footy club, and Ross there. And you've got the boys, the players themselves, have given their supporters every reason to get there on Saturday night. MCG, celebrate the 150 years, and let's hope that the second flag's not too far away. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, boys. Thanks.
Rob Harvey there, sending you questions, which we did, and I've given it away here. This is the 150th year Heritage Guernsey, so the question about Rob Harvey's running ability, where it stacks up, where the club stacks up. You know what I love when he talks about that? He goes, I love the boys because they empty out. You know what that means?
Yes, I do.
That's why I love
They give everything they've got to give.
They empty out and they got nothing else to
that
give.
That sounds like a Ross saying, doesn't it? Empty out, boys.
If you can get to a stage where your playing group or whoever it is, your workers in the office, your playing group or your coach, whatever, if they empty out for you, then you're doing your job.
Beautifully said. And in the time that I was there, you know the two blokes that emptied out more than anybody?
Rob Harvey.
And?
Lenny Hayes.
They gave everything they had to give.